expecting great things today. Say, I'm expecting great things today. Praise God. We don't have to wait till tomorrow, right? Today's a good day and something good's going to happen to you and you and you and you all over and you watching in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So welcome this morning. It's good to see everybody. You may greet someone this morning. Hallelujah. We want to welcome those of you online. We'd love to have you join us. So when you're in the area, please come join us. Please come be a part. And thank you for all you do to continue the mission that we have here at Victory Life Family Church. As you can see, there's a lot of love in the room. So praise God for that. Glory to God. Well, praise God if it's your first time. Our website is there on the screen. It's vlfc.church, and there you can find more about us, our past history of sermon notes, our audio, our video, our website. Praise the Lord. And glory to God. Just look us up. You could also submit a testimony or a prayer request, and we're happy to agree in prayer with you. So praise God. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. And also, if you want to know, we're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. So who's on Facebook in here? Is everybody on Facebook? A few of you, some of you, Instagram, a few of you. YouTube, who's on YouTube? Everybody have a YouTube account? Yeah, no, you have one. Good. That's awesome. Well, praise God. You can go back and listen to the messages again and again every time. And so we encourage you to do that because you don't always get everything the first time. So we have to rehear. We want to let you know Sunday's doors open at 9 and pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40 and service starts at 10. So come early and enjoy fellowship this morning. Everyone who was here early, I have to say, they made me it's called a Choco Flan. It's a Mexican birthday cake. The Best Western, one of the employees that we get to see, she made me a birthday cake. It was so good. Yes. What's left will probably take over after. But I just want to also say thank you for everyone who celebrated my birthday with me, told me happy birthday, was a part of it. I appreciate you all so much. We had a wonderful time on Wednesday night after we watched the second I Am Israel movie and before pastors headed over to Israel. But I just want to say thank you for being a part and making me feel special. And mom for making the Boston cream pie. That was delicious. So needless to say, I've had a lot of sweets this last week. That wasn't it either. So, but I want to say that it's Choco Flan, that cake. It's a popular Mexican dessert. I was looking it up. It combines rich chocolate cake layer with a creamy vanilla flan and a caramel topping. And it's so moist. It's so good. So she did a great job. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, being here, we're believing for our building. We know the Lord has it. But while we're here, we're making an impact wherever we go. We're, you know, the lives that we cross, the people that we cross, it's important, you know, and so praise God that he uses us wherever we go. Speaking of services, there's no Wednesday night home group this week. So happy Thanksgiving. Praise God. We have so much to be thankful for. So much. And we're thankful for each and every one of you here and those watching. We're thankful for you. We have a lot to be thankful for. I just pray that we pray that this is your best Thanksgiving yet, that you remember the things the Lord's done for you and know that he has more in store for each and every one of you. My heart is touched by his goodness. Praise God. Pastor Rodney, I want to remind you, he's one of 1,000 pastors who were selected to go with Friends of Zion organization to Israel December 1st through December 8th. He's leaving next Sunday right after church. So he's going to be preaching and then he's going to be traveling, making his way to Denver, to LA, and then to Israel. And so, glory to God. So we want to pray for our pastor every day. There's an itinerary over there, copies of it, that you can, we have one on our refrigerator. It tells what he does each day, where he's going to go. This is the first group of pastors as a pilot program, and they plan to have many more. And so this has been such a blessing. So we have the copies over there. We encourage you to pray for him every day. This is a historic trip, and we're excited. And so he can go pave the way. So maybe next year or the next, we could all go as a group. Praise God. Go on a tour. Hallelujah. So we could be believing for that. Also, Friday prayer, we won't have that this week either. Again, right after Thanksgiving. So praise God. We'll still be praying. Just because we're not having the meeting doesn't mean we're not praying, right? We're also calling in by faith. We mentioned our building, that we have a building of our own with lots of room for growth, rooms for prayer groups, connect groups, nurseries, classrooms for the children, classrooms for the young adults, a fellowship hall. Did you have something to say?
Yes, I just wanted to just reiterate an update even from last week, but our media missions, the goal that we had set forth, we end up getting some things a little bit different, had some items on sale and things like that. So we came in under budget. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. So that need financially, that need has been met. Amen. Well, so what came
God.
In, but right now we're still in the process. We had some things out here last week, and now there's actually a few more components actually coming this week in the mail. We're waiting on them, you know, and so as they get here, we'll be able to put all this together and test it. So probably won't actually have it all put together even next Sunday, just because of me coming in and out as quick as we are. So we're going to keep running the setup that we have, but we're looking to the next Sunday to actually have all of that in place. And it takes time, not just to get it in, but you've got to make it all talk to each other. And that's a whole networking thing. And so I've learned a lot about this lately to put all this together. But it's coming together. Amen. And it's going to keep getting better and better. And we'll be able to do more and more with that. And eventually we'll be able to set up live streams, which is especially as winter weather approaches, should there, and there has been that need in the past couple of years. We had to cancel a service here or there. Well, we can just keep right on preaching right from the house. Yep. We can set it up and we can still have Sunday and Wednesday night services, even if we're all at home. Amen. So we're looking forward to be able to do that and a lot of other things as well. But on the side of the building, yes, we are believing for our building, and just as active as I have been in looking to put together, you know, our media missions package and learning how to make all this thing work and what are the best solutions. And I've gotten a lot of different, you know, advice and looking up how to do that. But we've also been looking at different properties around town and just really, you know, it's like giving it to the Lord, but in the natural, doing everything that we can to try to see. And so there are some things that we're looking at and exploring. And so just keep praying and believing with us. And this, we have still this, the building fund is still in place. So just right now we have met this need for the media mission field, but we want to ask that as just prayerfully, as the Lord will lead you, you know, continue to sow. So there is that special building fund, whether it's in the room, writing on your offering envelope or online, there's a special fund you can put, and this goes towards, you know, the building itself that we are believing God for. So again, just, you know, whatever the Lord would lead, amen, just follow him, amen, and we're trusting in him to make that provision for us, amen. Praise
yes,
God.
Yes, he does. But praise God.
Just wanted to share that.
Amen. So, glory to God, and even with that, volunteers, if it's on your heart, media, you don't have to be the expert of it, but if it's something you always wanted to learn about or do, you know, we could learn it together. We could figure it out, because I know all the you know, different ministries I visited or the church I attended and different things. The media guys and gals, they love what they do. They get into that. You know, if you're out there watching, you know what I'm talking about. And so it's something, you know, if there's something you're even thinking about, even if it's being a classroom teacher or greeting or being on the worship team, but you think, I don't know if I'm totally, you know, qualified. Well, you are qualified. Or if I don't know all the skill set, well, let's learn it. Let's learn it together. It's all part of growing. We're all growing together. We want to grow every day. We want to learn new things, be challenged. And so that's part of that. That's part of taking ground for the Lord. And so, you know, don't hold back. Don't let fear or the enemy or anything else try to say, no, I'm not good enough. Or if you hear those, nope, I'm going forward in this because in him I am qualified. Amen. So praise God. We're for you. We're with you. And we're a family and we're occupying until Jesus comes. Praise God. Today, immediately following service, and we'll give you more details, we are going to be celebrating and letting Brenda and Stanford know how much we love them. And so here at the end of service, we'll call them up and pray over them and let them know how much we love them. But we look forward to spending time together before the big move. And so praise God. I will say more later because amen. Brenda's been such a blessing, Stanford, a blessing to us. So we appreciate you. Praise God. With that, it is offering time. Glory to God. We never like to see people go, but we celebrate them. We're happy for them when it's the, you know, from the Lord to go be with family and those things. You know, we think of the happy times and the things that God has for them. And so we're happy for people, for the plan of God to be walking out in their life. Mm-hmm. Try not to stumble over my words there. We appreciate you. We love you. All right. Praise God. Well, this morning, if you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 3 and 10 through 12, as well as chapter 8, verse 12 through 13. So it's only a matter of time. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verses 10 through 12. So shall it be when the Lord your God brings you into a land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the next one, but I want you to take note. It's God who brings us into the land. Amen. And praise God that, look at this, they didn't even build it. He already had a place prepared. He's a good God. So glory to God. We receive that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 12 through 13. Again, it's Deuteronomy 8. We're still there, just a couple chapters over. Verse 12 through 13, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. Can you say my God is a God of multiplication? Glory to God. And also in verse 12 in the last passage, Deuteronomy 6:12, it says to beware that lest we forget who brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, right? Sometimes when we're believing for something and we're just clinging to God and, you know, he's doing this and, you know, we're spending that time with him because we're really seeking him about something. And then when we get what it is we want, we really need to remember to thank him and spend that time with him and not get caught up in just enjoying the moment of what we have, whether it's a new relationship, husbands and wives, or that land that we're believing for, whatever it is, or get caught up in the work of the ministry when we get our building and forget God brought us here, right? He's the one who blesses us. He's the one that multiplies us. And notice here, God always says when these things happen. The word doesn't say if they happen. He doesn't say that it might happen. So as far as God is concerned, if you hearken to him, if you listen to his voice, if you do what he says, then it's just a matter of time before the increase comes into your life. And so once again, God is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps his word. And so if we fulfill our part, he's going to fulfill his, and he already has in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we just hook up with him. And, you know, I want you to know here, it does take spending time with him. For in order for us to know a plan, we have to get with the planner and find out what is the plan. And so we want to take that time, set that time aside, like what we talk about first thing in the morning. You've been sleeping, your spirit or your soul is quiet, your mind's quiet. Get up, hear what God has to say. Get in your Bible, read the word of God, and find out, what do you have for me today? Because we know when we get out into the world, when we get out into things around us, everything's coming against us, the world, right? But God has a plan. And so we need to build ourselves up, make our inner man strong, and be ready so we're out ahead of anything the enemy would try to do. But also to hear, I have for you this today. I have for you that today. You know, and you can, Holy Spirit shows us things to come. So that's kind of a side note, but it does us well. It does us right to get in the Word of God. We can avoid so many things, but also receive what God's getting to us because we've spent time with him. And so praise God. With that, let's say our offering confessions this morning. The blessing of God is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, our houses, our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest. Bring it to us in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you're giving in the room today, there's an offering envelope under your seat or under the seat in front of you. If you're writing a check, please write it to BLFC. If you're giving by cash or card, there's this part, this top part right here. Fill that out with your name and address, please. And if you're giving online, the information's on your screen. And I would like to pray for the offering and us this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for each and everyone here and those watching and the seeds that they've sown. And Father, the obedience to the tithe and what you have for their lives. That Father, yes, we agree. The windows of heaven are open over every one of us. The seeds that we've planted, there's a mighty harvest coming forth in the name of Jesus. We thank you for open doors to gifts and surprises. We thank you, Father God, for the needs being met. We thank you that this week there are gifts and surprises coming that are only from you, that we can say God did this in our life. We give you glory and honor. We're expecting from you, Father. You're a good daddy, God. And what good father wouldn't want to give to their children? And so I thank you, where there's been fear, where there's been worry, where there's been doubt concerning finances, right now, in the name of Jesus, we wipe that away and say, no, we have a good God, and he supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. You may receive the offering.
Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Let's all say it together. Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a quality decision. Jesus, come into my heart, take my life, do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. Amen. We opened last week on a series within a series. We're teaching and have been teaching for some weeks now on the subject of faith. And we took a look at last week on this series that we started last week. We'll be on it this week, and then we'll probably finish it next Sunday, Lord willing. But it's called The Four Confessions of Faith. Amen. And so we were looking at, in the Bible, there are four distinct confessions that believers make. In the Old Testament, we saw that the believer, when they confessed their sins. So for example, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, he's out in the wilderness preaching the baptism of repentance. And we saw there in the scripture that they would come to him out of the cities and out of the places into the wilderness, and there they were confessing their sins. And when they were confessing their sins, they were repenting of that sinful lifestyle, whatever that was, and then they were being baptized, which represented a spiritual cleansing, right? Now, again, that was Old Testament. Christ had not yet come. This was not unto salvation. This is just, I recognize I'm a sinner and I want to live holy before the Lord. Amen. And so this is what they were doing. And then we went on to see the second part of that on this side of the cross, where the believer was confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, which was unto salvation. Amen. Now that's not where it ends. That's just the beginning for our life. Amen. That's where our life really begins. And we saw this last week in Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, 8 through 10. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word of faith which we preach. And we've studied this passage in depth in times past. When he says the word is near you, what he is saying is the word is easy to be understood. It's easy to be acted upon. It takes no great effort. You don't have to climb a peak. You don't have to swim the ocean. The word is near you. It's easy to be received. And this is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. So again, we go on to say, look at verse 17 in Romans 10. He says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when you hear the word of God, faith drops down into your heart or into your spirit man, and all you've got to do is respond in kind and act on that word. In this case, he says in verse 9, this is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess, so again, we're talking about confession, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that is the number two confession that you see in Scripture, and it is the confession that Jesus, you are Lord, and by that you are saved, you are made a new creation in Christ, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, and now you're a brand new spiritual baby in Christ. Amen. And now we're supposed to start growing up. Amen. Praise the Lord. But as you know, as we go through this life, it was, again, man is a three-part being. We are a spirit. Amen. At the new birth, your old sinful spirit man died the death of the cross. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives. So again, Paul's not talking about his body. He wasn't talking about his mind. He says, no, who died? The spirit man died. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this flesh, body and soul, I now live by faith according to the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So when he says, I live by faith, I'm not living by faith, obviously, out of my body. I'm not living by faith out of my mind. I'm living by faith out of who I am, what I have, what I can do now that I'm in Christ. Amen. I look not to this natural world to define me. I look beyond this natural world as to who I really am and what my true limits really are. And in Christ, there is none. Amen. Praise God. So if you have your Bible with you, hard copy or soft copy, whatever you have. Amen. Here in the room, those of you, same thing online. Praise God. Hold it up big. This is my Bible, the living word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. In Jesus' name. And again, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus, you know, backing up there in John 14, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do. Amen. It's his will to perform his word. They're one and the same. Amen. He gave us his word so that we could have faith in it, so that he could perform it in and through our lives. Amen. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked. Amen. From the garden to Jesus to you and I today, it's always worked the exact same way. Man heard from God, man acted and responded in faith to what God said, and then God does the work. Jesus modeled it perfectly. He said, I only do what I see him do and what I hear him say. And Jesus got 100% results. We shared this last week. You didn't see all the signs and wonders and miracles and all of those things in Jesus' life and ministry because he's Jesus. Jesus did not come as deity. He did not come as Son of God, although he was. He came as Son of Man. He emptied himself, and what he did as a man anointed by God. And so that he goes on to say, if he could do it, it would have worked a different way. But he says, no, I can't, but I can do and I can say as I hear and I see. And that's what causes it to work. So it didn't work because he's Jesus. It worked because it's the word. Selah. It worked because it's the word of God. It's the word that works. Hebrews 1:3 says he is upholding all things by the word of his power, not his person. His power is his word. Amen. Hallelujah. The gospel, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the word of God. It's the good news. Amen. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. So because it's the word, it'll work for you and I. It'll work for anybody just the same as it did work for Jesus. Whoever will believe it, whoever will come into agreement with it and act on it just as Jesus modeled it for us, it'll work for us just the same it works for him, because it's the same word, it's the same God, it's the same function. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's good news. So this doesn't work because he's Jesus. It doesn't work because, you know, there's fivefold ministers who are anointed. It works for every believer because it's the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's so simple. It's so simple. Amen. But don't get the idea that it works for somebody else because they're so special. No. It's the word. It's the word that does the work. And you and I've got the same word as everybody else, which means we could have the same faith as everybody else. It's the word that produces the faith. It's the word that will produce that result through your faith. Hallelujah. Ha-ha. That's fun. That's fun. Glory to God. So we looked again last week at the believer's confession of sin under the Old Testament, and we looked at it in the New Testament, which brought salvation. Today, we're going to look at number 3. Amen. And the title to today's message is Walking in the Light. Amen. So, and we find this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Again, I want to encourage, I believe everyone in the room, I see you have your notes online, our website, blfc.church/sermons. You can go and access all of Pastor's detailed notes. You can follow along with us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Use it in your own personal devotional times. Amen. I know I've spoke with other pastors in the past. Preach it. Amen. Wherever you're at, take it, preach it. Amen. I don't have a copyright on this. It's the word of God. Amen. And I'm freely giving it out to anybody who will receive it. Hallelujah. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 10 says, we declare to you that which we have seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things to you so that your joy, or our joy, may be complete. This, then, is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now notice this, we deceive ourselves. He didn't say the devil deceived you. No, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Amen. So we're going to be unpacking this scripture today and seeing what he's talking about, because there is a confession. Amen. The believer's confession of sin. So once you're saved, you know, at the moment you confess Jesus Christ, you've received a new birth. And I believe everyone across the body of Christ, by and large, you know, whatever church, whatever denomination, we can all agree at that moment, you're perfect, you're saved, all is well. But if you go out later that day or that night and you went off and, you know, went back to whatever lifestyle or whatever thing, well, you know, you may not be saved come nightfall. You know, you may not be saved come tomorrow if you've done this and that and you didn't confess it, you didn't repent of it. Well, you know, your salvation is not, you know, it's that fickle, because God, you know, he's going to get you for that. You know, you didn't do right. And so a lot of times people have looked at this passage of scripture and said, this is what we're talking about. If you've missed it, you better confess it right now, because if not, you might be going to hell. That's not what he's talking about. Amen. We have this blessed assurance, amen, before the Father. Amen. But what he is talking about here, and you see it four times. The Apostle John wrote it four times, the word fellowship. So what's the context? It's fellowship. This is fellowship with God, your Father. This is not referring to your eternal salvation. We already dealt with that. You can look over in Hebrews in 8, 9, and 10 and throughout much of that book, you can see how the blood of Jesus has dealt with your sin problem. Amen. Once for all time, for all men who will put faith in it. He's talking about a holy lifestyle. He's talking about walking in fellowship. God, this is my relationship that I have with you regarding your word, living in obedience to your word. As Holy Spirit leads me and guides me, I acknowledge, I know that's the voice of the Lord. This is how he's leading me to go, and I'm going to live in obedience to that. Amen. So it's not just the overarching word for the entire church. It's how he specifically leads you in your life as well. And you know what you know. You know when you heard from God. And a lot of times people want to dismiss it. They want to ignore it. Well, did he really say move to Ogallala? You know, we could have went to Hawaii. We could have went to this or that. Or we could have just stayed right. Again, there's all of these things. So again, you know in your heart when he's led you to do something. Amen. And you know when you kind of dismiss it and it kind of keeps nudging you and he kind of keeps tugging at you. Holy Spirit will not condemn you. The devil will condemn you. He is the accuser of the brethren, but the Holy Spirit will convict you. Say amen. That's good news. That's good news, because if I'm missing it and I'm heading down the wrong path, somebody please come and tell me about it. Amen. And so Holy Spirit, he's there to convict you, to say, hey, Rodney, that's not right. You know, put this down. Stop putting these other things before. Whatever it is, he's there to nudge you, to get you right back on course. Because if you continue down this path and another week and year and month go by, your destination was supposed to be over here, but the further you go, you can be 1,000 miles away, you know, from where you ought to be. Amen. praise God. Or again, if I'm called a pastor in Ogallala, but I decide, you know what, I'm just going to drive a truck and I'm going to have my own little business and I'm going to do this or that. That's a long way off from where I'm supposed to be. Amen. But it all came down to a little decision here or a little decision there. But if you continue down that track, it can take you to places you didn't want to be. And you're wondering how and why is it this working out? You know, I've prayed and I've confessed and I believe God, and it just doesn't seem to be working for me. Could it be broken fellowship? Broken fellowship. Rodney, you're not in the right place. You're not at the right time. You're not with the right people. You're not doing the right things that I've called you to do. And this all goes back to way over here. And if and until you'll get back over here, things won't really work the way they ought to work. Now, you'll see some measure of blessing. You'll see some measure of this and that, but it won't be what I had for you. And then the last day when I've got to stand before the Lord, as we all do, and the fire hits all of that work that I did, it'll all burn up. There will be no reward for it, but I'll get to go to heaven. I'm still a child of God, but I didn't walk in fellowship. I still had my relationship intact, but fellowship was not intact. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So again, John is reminding us all that fellowship can be broken. Not because God withdraws his love from us. Amen. God is love. He always loves us. But love will tell you what's right when you're doing wrong. Holy Spirit will convict you. Amen. He's going to nudge you. Amen. Glory to God. So in this scripture, we see a couple of things. One, it gives us a warning, but it also gives us a promise that if we'll confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I also want to make a special note here. As you'll see with pretty much most of the New Testament, he's not writing to the unbeliever. He's writing this to the church. And a lot of times, and again, growing up in the church that I did in that denomination, you know, we had different thoughts and ideas, and I've seen and heard just others as well, you know, that in trying to get a sinner saved, the sinner needs to go and repent for all their wrong that they've ever done. And they need to go back, and if they were been married three times, you need to go divorce your wife you're with now, and you need to go reconcile and get married to your first wife. Even if she's married, you've got to go work that out somehow. I mean, just all type of stuff. I mean, they come up with all type of things. This is not that. This is not that. The believer does not need to confess all their sins. They just need to recognize I'm a sinner. You know what? And I need salvation. Jesus, I recognize you are the way to get saved. And so I confess you now as the Christ and my Lord and Savior. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. I've repented of my old lifestyle and I've now received my salvation. I don't need to go and try to confess everything to everybody and try to reconcile every wrong. All right. That's not it. So again, this passage is not written to sinners who are unsaved. Also, just a further note, we do not use this passage to try to get sinners to confess their sins before they get saved. Amen. So again, the sinner just needs to recognize that Jesus is Lord. I need salvation and I receive him. Amen. So again, this passage is talking about fellowship. Now, we touched on this and I just want to go into it a little bit deeper. The danger of denial. The danger of denial. So again, he says in this passage, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Amen. Hallelujah. God is saying that if we are out of fellowship, but go on acting as if all is well, we're spiritually okay. It's okay. It's no big deal. I'm in good standing. He said, then we've been deceived. We are not telling the truth to ourselves, and we're not walking uprightly before him. And it hurts me to say this. Most of the people that call themselves Christian live right here. They have, at some point in their life, they've read the Word of God, they heard it preached, and they took this and put it over here on the shelf. Well, Yeah, I don't need church. Me and Jesus is more than enough. Just even something simple like that. Tithing, same thing. Whatever it is, you pick it. Whatever they've heard, they treated the word of God like a buffet. Oh, I like me some healing. I like me some prosperity. Oh, salvation, you bet. All these other things, they just kind of go up and down the line and just kind of pick and choose what they want to hear. I've spent a lot of years in ministry, and one-on-one, I have spoke to thousands of people, and I've heard a lot of different things. But a lot of it really came down to the issues that they were having in their lives. And again, most of the time, they're calling in for prayer. And so you just start talking to them. You're having some interactions with them. And I started noticing a pattern over the years that really stood out. And a lot of it revolved right here, broken fellowship. But they would not tell you that they are in broken fellowship. As far as they're concerned, they're okay. But the thing that I noticed with many of them, they didn't have a church home. They didn't have a pastor. This is big. That's big. You know, and you kind of start touching on some different things, and you recognize, and they don't even recognize that they're missing it. They just think I'm living right. This is okay. And again, when you compare yourself to your next door neighbor, I'm sure you're doing okay, right? You know, when you can compare yourself to other carnal Christians, yeah, you know, we're all in the same boat together. But that's not God's standard, right? And again, I've talked to people even here in town, you talk to them about church or this, oh, no, I'm good. We're doing okay. Me and my husband, we're doing great, you know, or me and my wife, it's okay. Again, compared to what? Compared to the plan and purpose of God that he has for your life or compared to your neighbor? Amen. It's a difference. God, again, he's saying that if we're out of fellowship, but we go on saying that we're spiritually okay and that we're in good standing, he's saying that we have been deceived. We are not telling the truth and we're not walking uprightly before him, which means you're not experiencing God's best. You're not experiencing God's best. If we say that we have not been disobedient to walk in the light of the word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, our fellowship with God has been broken. We're not hearing from God as we ought to. We're not responding to him as we ought to. Amen. So again, if he's told me to come to Ogallala and plant a church in Ogallala, but I'd have decided to stay in Fort Worth, Texas, we have a beautiful home. We've got family. We've got friends. It's good. I mean, if we were to compare ourselves to others, hey, we're doing great. Amen. But I don't want to miss God. Amen. Hallelujah. It seems like everything would have been all right. And I'm sure we could have lived the next, you know, however long till Jesus comes, and we'd have been all right. Amen. But I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, you know what? I know you told me, but I had a better plan. No, I don't have a better idea. To claim spiritually that all is well while ignoring the truth or living in disobedience is self-deception. The devil didn't need to deceive you. You deceived yourself so that you could fulfill your own lust. When I say lust, we're just talking about the desires of the flesh, whatever those are, you know, living comfortably, going here, doing this, you know, enjoying that, you know, ignoring the leading and unction of Holy Spirit on my life. Broken fellowship. There's more to this. It robs us of power. It robs us of the anointing. It leaves us vulnerable to further deception, and it is a major hindrance to our faith in getting prayers answered. I'm telling you, this right here, this passage that John wrote, is the number one reason why people don't get answers to their prayers. I just don't hear from God like I ought to. Time for a spiritual checkup. Amen. We're talking about faith. All of this has everything to do with faith. And again, I've seen it over the years. people are praying and confessing, and you talk to them and you have a little conversation with them. I mean, they're living out Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. And it's right, but it doesn't seem to be working for them. I know the word works. I've seen it work too many times in my own life and the life of others, but why isn't it working for them? Broken fellowship. We need to find out where that place is. Repent of it, get it right, and you'll see a change. We'll talk more about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Often, and I say often, I would say pretty much every time, this does not start with some big overarching thing. It's the little things. It's the little foxes that will spoil the vine. Not spending time with Him on a daily basis. Not reading our Bibles. Not coming to church. Just these little things. And the next thing you know, we've gone and we've gone and we've gone. And now it's like there's a whole fog that's come over your life. And you even have forgotten in one sense what manner of man you were. Paul writes about this in Ephesians 4, right? He says, you started life in the Spirit, but now you've ended up living as a mere man. But you did not so learn Christ. Amen? What happened? They broke fellowship. And they're still saved. They're the saints. He's writing to the church. But they've broken fellowship. An example that I was thinking of in this, a pastor, this is a few years ago, had a young man in his church. This man had a call to God on his life, and it was obvious. It was obvious to the pastor, who'd been a seasoned pastor for many years. This young man, so a pastor heard, he knew. The young man, he knew. And so pastor takes this man up under his wing, starts trying to mentor him a little bit, praying over him, all of these things. But the young man didn't seem to be as engaged as, you know, maybe he ought to be. You know, if this is what God has called you to do, you know, you ought to be embracing this and applying yourself. And again, to have the pastor take his time, and again, this is a big church. Pastor's taking his time. That's not a small thing, you know. Pastor's taking his time to really try to help and bring you along. Young man's not applying himself. And one day in prayer, you know, pastor's just, you know, praying over this young man. God speaks to pastor. It's good to have pastors. God speaks to pastor concerning the young man and says, I've told this young man to do two things. If and until he does them, nothing else is ever going to happen in his life. Nothing. Guess what those two things were? Number one, go to church. Number two, be faithful. Anybody could do that. Anybody could do that. He had issues. Couldn't come to church faithfully. Amen. Couldn't serve faithfully. Just. And he says, time went on. You know, and next, you know, a man's, you know, gone. He said, nothing's ever going to work if and until he'll do those two things. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. This young man, I don't know where he's at today. Right? But he can go and he can learn some things about faith and he can try to pray and confess and do all of these things, and it won't work for him because he's out of fellowship. And if and until he will get before God and say, God, I repent. I know what you called me to do. I know how you were leading me to do. And even if it's 10, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years down the road, if he will confess it, get it right before God, God will restore him. Now, you can't make up for that lost time. If 50 years have gone by, you know, there's a whole lot of things that just got missed out on. But the Lord can start working with you right where you are today. And that's all any of us can do because we're all going to miss it in our flesh. I've missed it, amen, in my flesh. Have I ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing? Sure I have. Sure I have. And I would like to hope and pray that I'll never do that again. But, you know, I got flesh. You got flesh. So what do? We repent. Get right before the Lord and say, you know, Lord, what was the last thing you told me to do? Because if I'll go get in that by faith, amen, the Lord can start work with me where this at, and now we can go from there. Amen. Now I can get some breakthroughs. Now I can see my relationship and fellowship restored, not just with God, but with man. Amen. Because when this relationship isn't right, how do you think these relationships are going to work out? We always going to have some issues out here, but when this one's not flowing, this one can't be flowing, right? Amen. This is just flesh working with flesh. I want spirit on flesh working. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. And it's so easy. It's so easy. Just as easy as you confess Jesus and got saved, it's just so easy to confess your sin and repent before the Lord and get right back in fellowship that fast. This doesn't take weeks and months, and you know, we don't have to get everything perfectly right. All that's needed is a heart change and to be truthful. Be truthful with self. Again, we're talking about self-deception. He didn't say the devil deceived you. He says you've deceived yourself because you suppressed truth. You dismissed it. You ignored it. Well, it's just a little. Well, that just little is what opened the door to the greater and to the next and to the next. Amen. The simplicity of obedience. Glory to God. Go to church. Be faithful. And if you're looking for scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, 24, 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, especially as you see the day approaching, as has been the manner of some. That's your scripture. Jesus in Matthew 25, 21, he says, he who is faithful over a little, I'm going to make you ruler over much. And here's the other thing. A lot of times people have heard from God to do this or go there or serve in this capacity. And they say, you know what? That's beneath me. That's beneath me. You give me something big to do, well, I'll do that. You give me something great, you give me something out front, I'll do that. And God says, no, until you can prove yourself faithful with cleaning the toilet, I can't use you in the pulpit. Right? I can't use you out here on Front Street. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's extra. Amen. Matthew 22:14, Jesus goes on to say, for many are called, few are chosen. Paula, can I see your amplified? Many are called. And here's the truth. Any man that's in Christ, you're all called. We're all called to do the work of the ministry. Again, my ministry primarily is inside the walls of the church. Your ministry is primarily outside the walls of the church. But we're all called to do the work of the ministry in our own capacity. But Ephesians 2:10, and this is, I referenced this in our notes, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic. Ephesians 2:10. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Thank you, Lord, freedom. There's freedom in the truth. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works that we decide. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that, does it? Which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Not the path that I chose, the path that God chose. In all things, we just need to learn to rejoice in God's choice. If he says, I've created you a male, if I've created you a female, just learn to rejoice. I'm going to be the best man that I can be. Amen. If this is the path that he's called me to be, is to go plant a church in Ogallala, Nebraska, I'm going to be the best church planner and pastor that I can be. Amen. I'm not going to decide. I'm just going to stay home where it's comfortable. Amen. I'm going to get out. Amen. And step out because that's what he's prepared. Amen. God's best is in this place. Amen. You won't find a better blessing plan of your own accord. Proverbs 16:3, many thoughts and plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose is what's going to stand and be established. You may thought you've established something. You might live your whole life, and in the natural, it may look that way. But remember, the day's coming. Fire's going to hit all that. It's going to burn up, and it's going to be a pile of ashes. There's no eternal reward other than you're saved. Amen. But he says, as one who's passed through fire. I'd rather do one thing for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Than to live an entire life and have nothing to show for it. Amen. There are rewards in heaven. We've talked about this in times past. The Bible just speaks of five distinct crowns. I believe that there's probably a lot more different things. And there, I don't know what all that's going to look like in eternity, but there is something. There's something about it. There's something about it. Paul himself says, I'm not running this race for nothing. No, I'm running. There's a crown at the end of this. And this isn't just that I got the ticket to heaven and I'm escaping hell. There's a whole lot more to it. Again, I'm reminded, Oral Roberts, he died. He briefly came back and spoke to his wife, Evelyn, and said, Evelyn, sow the biggest seed we've ever sown. Of everything he could have said, why did he say that? He saw something on the other side that says, you know what? We can do something in this life that's going to impact eternity. Amen. Here and now, but it's going to impact eternity for us as well. Just interesting. Amen. Glory to God. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life. Amen. I know we call Nebraska living the good life. But there's Ephesians 2:10, the God kind of good life. Amen. Glory to God, which he prearranged. God made all of this. Before the foundations of the earth, he saw you, he knew you, he called you by name. He has made a plan and a purpose tailor-made just for you. There's a place that you perfectly fit and no one else fits it like you fit it. Amen. Which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Amen. That's what I'm after. That's what I want. That's what I want for each one of us. To discover and realize you have a God plan. You have a God purpose. You're not going to find it in broken fellowship. It cannot happen. And if and until we can just say yes to the basic thing, whatever that is. I know you're all in here in church today. Amen. So check part one. Number two, be faithful. Number three, whatever else he says to you to do, do it. Whatever he reveals to you, go do that. And here's what I want to encourage you. Thank you, Lord. Help me. Living out the fullness of the plan of God for our lives require that we live in obedience to the word, in fellowship with him, and in fellowship with one another. He said, we deceive ourselves. When you and I sin, we know it. Your own heart will convict you. Again, the Holy Spirit, he's there to convict, not to condemn. Jesus said in John 16:13, the Holy Spirit, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you and guide you unto all truth. Thy word is truth. So there's specific truth for your life, such again, come to Ogallala, plant a church. You won't find chapter and verse for that. You need Holy Spirit to reveal that to you, but he will. He's the living word, and he's absolutely personal for every person. He'll show you. He's faithful to do his part. I promise you, God is faithful to speak to you and to do his part. But if we're not in fellowship, we're not on the right channel to even hear. Amen. All you're hearing is static. Think of it as the old radios. We don't have them anymore. Everything's digital. But in the old days, you used to have to turn the dial and you had the static in between stations. God is speaking clearly on heaven's channel. But if we're not tuned in because of broken fellowship, all you're hearing is static, static, static. And again, so many people says, well, I just can't hear from God. Oh, really? Well, let's talk about it. Amen. What did God tell you? Amen. What was the last thing you heard from him? Well, I remember 10 years ago, you know, there was this and that. Go do it. Yeah. Repent for not doing it. And now, Lord, here am I. Amen. If you'll help me to get back over here, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen. Now, here's the truth. I grew up in church. I spent a lot of years totally apart. But at 30 years old, I gave my life completely to the Lord, and I surrendered all. Lord, here am I. Take my life, do something with it. I meant every word of it, and I meant it just as much today. I didn't get here, you know, by one big step. There's been so many steps from that moment to here, to here, to here, to here, to here, to here, and so many different little things. And if anywhere along the way I had a better idea and gotten off course, I wouldn't be here today. I would probably be 800 miles away down in Texas doing something, whatever that might be. That's just the truth of it. I wouldn't have met Paula. We wouldn't be married today. I could have been married to something else, someone else. It could have been something else. You know, amen. No. Praise God. Hallelujah. The more we walk down this path, amen, the more we walk down a path of not being obedient to what God has called us to do, it sears our conscience. When I say sear, it hardens, it calluses us. What you're saying is I'm permanently kind of tuning in to static, right? Because again, Holy Spirit is speaking. And again, I've seen this over my years, especially when I was younger. You know, there was different things as I left the church and I started living like the devil, for the devil. You know, there was things in my heart that were condemning me, but also convicting me. But I just kind of kept pushing and taking another step and taking another step. And after a while, it didn't bother me no more. It didn't bother me a bit. What happened? I couldn't hear at all. I'd gotten so far off course. All I'm hearing is full static. Did God stop speaking? I don't think so. No. I tuned out completely. Amen? Yes. If it had not been for family praying, thank you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Many in the church have wondered why their faith isn't working for them. Could it be broken fellowship? Could it be self-deception in a particular area? This passage was written as a wake-up call to the church to conduct a spiritual checkup and to repent to get back in fellowship so that our faith could work, so that our prayers could be answered, and so that we could hear clearly from Him for our life. Amen. Our families, our church, our communities. Amen. We all need one another. We're going to close here, but I'm going to start wrapping this up. Here's an example, another one. Again, just simple obedience. This is where it starts. But here's another example, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Likewise, you husbands, live considerately with your wives, giving honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they too are heirs of grace in life. Paul and I are joint heirs of grace in life. Amen. But notice here, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, be loving toward one another. So again, now he's talking about the church, your local families, those that your neighbors, your loved ones, those round about you. Finally, be of all one mind, be loving toward one another, be gracious and be kind. Do not repay evil for evil or curse for curse, but on the contrary, bless, knowing that to this you are called. There's an instruction from the Lord. So that you may receive a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Well, I haven't murdered anybody this week. Whose standard are you judging? Your standard? Neighbor's standard? God's standard? Strife is evil. Lying is evil. All of these other things are unrighteousness, and it will cause a break in fellowship. And so you can turn this statement around, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers. We'll just turn it around. What about the prayers of the unrighteous? Those who are not in right standing, those who are in broken fellowship. He doesn't hear it. There's no answer. I can't get it to you. Can't get it to you. Faith works by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith works by love. Your faith works through love. If Paula and I get in strife with one another, our prayers are going to be hindered. That's what it says. There's no maybe about it. But he goes on to say, not just husband and wife, anybody else too. If I can't be gossiping about mom, I can't have, you know, this and that going on, and oh God, I receive my blessing. What blessing? You've partnered with the devil. You're going to receive that. That you're going to receive that curse, not my blessing. This is what you've joined yourself to. You're not in fellowship. You're living out of a different flow instead of my flow. Right? It's not my will for you, and I'm telling you how to get it right. So again, this passage has a warning, but there's also a promise. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith works by love. We quoted Mark 11, 22 through 24 a while ago, but let's read verse 25, 26. Again, we'll back up in verse 24. Therefore, this is Jesus. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you'll have them. Woohoo! I prayed. I seen the word of God. By his stripes, I was healed. I am healed. Amen. That's the truth. But Jesus didn't stop there. What else did he say? And, oh, that's a conjunction. He wasn't done with that. And when you stand praying, forgive. Uh-oh. If you have anything against anyone, anything against anyone, not just husbands and wives, anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your sins. Again, we're not talking about, well, I didn't confess a sin, so now I'm unrighteous and I'm unsaved. This goes right back, hand in hand, broken fellowship. Broken fellowship. You've cut yourself off from my flow, and now you've hooked yourself up to this flow. I can't help you in that place. Until you disconnect and hook back up with God, I can't get this to you. Faith works by love. I am love. Amen. This is how it operates. So if you've had hindrances in your life, if you've had, you know, I can't really hear from God. I haven't been able to get my breakthrough. Spiritual checkup. Amen. Hindrance to my faith. Holy Spirit, I know I may have suppressed this thing way back. I may not even know what it is. But if you'll bring it to my remembrance right now, I intend to get this right. He'll bring it to you. He will absolutely bring it to you. He'll do his part. And you'll hear it. In your heart. He'll speak to your heart and he'll remind you of something, and it may have been from years back. And it could just be something you need to receive forgiveness for yourself. Yeah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. The call to repentance, Hebrews 4:15-16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus knows the feelings that you're going through, whatever those things are. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So again, you missed it by a country mile. Okay. So what do? Run boldly. Father, I missed it. I know, son. You're not informing me of anything, but I know. Now come over here. Then let it give you a hug. Let's talk about it. Amen. I did wrong. This has been the 100th time today I did it wrong. But I'm here again confessing. He'll forgive you. And he'll give you the grace to live free from that. Again, we talked about this last week. Grace is not an empowerment to sin, or it's not a license to sin. It's an empowerment to live free from sin.
Amen.
Amen. So that sin will no longer hold sway and have power over your life. Amen. It cuts it off. It's the anointing that removes that and destroys that yoke off of your life. Amen. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace. Don't just repent, but stick around and receive your grace. Amen. So that we don't just keep going around this mountain 100 more times. Amen. This is the last time. Amen. But again, if you do, go running back. Be quick to repent. Hallelujah. According to John 1:9, if I confess my sins just one time, at that moment, he forgives us. And I now stand in his presence without any sense of guilt, shame, inferiority, or condemnation of any kind. Amen. I am the righteousness of God. But now I've received, I'm not in right standing and in right fellowship with God. This will do wonders for your faith. When you're right and you absolutely know I am right with God, God has heard me when I prayed, there's nothing that can stand in the way between you and your breakthrough. Nothing. Nothing. When you know that you know that you know that you are righteous and that you're in right standing, praise God, breakthrough, miracles, wonders. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just noticed some scriptures here, and I'm just going to run through them right quick. The promise of cleansing and restoration. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Amen. White as snow, washed away. Isaiah 43:25-26. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Father doesn't want to remember your mistakes. So he made a way. I don't have to. I can blot it out as though it never happened. And I will not remember your sin. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. State your cause that you may be justified. State your cause. Confess your sin. Confess it. I missed it. I'm not playing around with it. I'm not kind of disguising it. It's sin. I'm brutally honest and I call it sin. And now I receive my forgiveness. I don't want to be halfway about this, right? I don't want to be dismissive about this. Or I will continue on in broken fellowship. No, I want it all. Lay it all on the line. Lay it all on the altar. Deal with it. Amen. Psalm 103:2-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. What's one of those benefits? Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. But what's on the heels of that? And heals all your diseases. Forgives all your iniquities, and then he heals all your diseases. You can receive your healing when you'll get right. Amen. I'm not talking about right relationship. I'm talking about right fellowship. fellowship. He's still Father. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful toward their unrighteousness and their sins and lawless deeds. What's he do with them? I remember them no more. God, the Almighty, wipes it from his memory. He will never bring it back up to you again. If anybody ever brings it up again, it ain't God. It's the devil. Get behind me, Satan. I am the righteousness of God. Amen. The blood of the Lamb has cleansed me from that. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience? You cleanse your memory from dead works to do what? Serve the living God. Hebrews 10:19-22, therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he has opened for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Come on now, we're talking about a pure heart, free, a heart that's free before God, a heart that knows I'm in perfect fellowship. I know I'm in right relationship, but I now know I'm in perfect fellowship, a true heart in full assurance of faith. This is what God wants, full assurance of faith. When you're in full assurance of faith, there is nothing that can stand in your way. Jesus operated in a true heart and in full assurance of faith, and he always got results. Always. That's the key. That's the key. It's not, amen. This is the part right here. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from an evil conscience. Mm. I don't have any remembrance of sin. What I remember is I made the righteousness of God, and what I know is that I'm in right relationship. It says, and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. So without confidence and boldness, number one, you're not going to approach God in full assurance of faith. Amen. And knowing that when we come to him, we've received our answer that he has provided for us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I know we're wrapping up here. One last thing I want to share in this, and that is in James 5:14-16. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, I want you to just hold that. That sounds a whole lot similar to Mark 11:22-24, does it not? Have faith in God. Speak to this mountain. Be removed. Be cast in the sea. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe you receive it, you'll have it. Sounds pretty similar. But now read the next one. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Oh, there's more to it than just confessing faith in God. There's more to it than just speaking to this mountain over here, according to the word of God. In both cases, Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. Again, this instance, I've seen it and I've heard about it so many times. As soon as people been praying and standing, churches praying, can't get their healing, can't receive their healing, just not working. As soon as they would repent, get strife and these things out of their life, instantly they would be healed. Over and over and over and over. Deal with the strife, get rid of the sin, get rid of this broken fellowship, and it just starts flowing. It flows. It's the word. It's the word. Again, it's not because he's Jesus. It's not because they're so anointed. It's because it's the word, and the word works through faith in love. Every time. Glory to God, Paula. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next Sunday, we're going to pick up on this, and we're going to be looking at specifically the fourth confession of faith. Who you are, what you have, what you can do now that you're in Christ. This is the positive confession of faith. Amen. Agreeing with God, agreeing with the Word concerning who you are. I've been redeemed from the curse. I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen. So praise God. I wouldn't miss it. Amen. Praise God. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Well, this morning, we do have some business to take care
Amen.
Of. Some family business. So, Brenda and Stanford, if you want to come up here. And
thank
that was
you,
an awesome word. What a good send-off word. We prayed this morning you'd have come on up here. Words to pack, not just yourselves to go to Florida, not just your belongings, but also some spiritual food in your suitcase to take with you. So we were praying that.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you been coming here?
Is it? It's been over a year.
Over a year. I know. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Praise God. Well, as y'all know, Brenda, she's been with us a little over a year, but now she is moving to Florida. Amen. To be with family. And we love you so much. And you've been such a blessing here to this family and even also at Pathways.
Well, yes, I wanted to say,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, I had some things to say. Yes, Brenda, she has been such a blessing, faithful here at the church and the women's ministry and just faithful and serving, coming to church, being faithful. Whatever needs to get done, she gets in there and does it. She's been a blessing personally to me. And then also, most of you know that I'm also the director at Pathways Pregnancy and Women's Resource here in town, and we serve families. And Brenda has been our lead volunteer. She has been a go-getter. I mean, I don't know how we would have done it without her at times, okay? She's been such a blessing sewing here to the church, sewing at Pathways, being a part of the community. And so I'm personally going to miss her so much, but we're happy. And, you know, and Stanford, not forgetting
yes,
you,
yes,
but
yes,
I'm talking yes. about the women's side, the women's ministry, the women at Pathways, and, you know, me personally, just, but we're happy for the fact that you get to go be with your family and your grandchildren. And so
I know God has another plan there too.
Amen.
I don't know what it is. That's okay. I'm only taking the first step.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. You take the first step and you're going to keep going.
That's Praise exactly the Lord. How it happens. You take one step and then you get the next step. Until you take the one step, you'll never get the second or the third revealed to you. Amen. Praise God. We would just want to pray over y'all and bless y'all. And so, Father God,
if you want to reach your hands.
We thank you so much
Amen.
For the gifts.
Thank you.
Of Stanford and Brenda. Father God, to this church, to this body. But Father God, also we send them off. Yes, Lord, this is not goodbye. It's just see you later. Lord, in this life or in the next, we'll see you later. And so, Father, we just rejoice in this hope. And Father God, as they go, we bless them. We bless yeah. their families. We bless the new church home that you have for them, Father God. Lord,
Thank
that they're
you,
in
Lord.
That place. They are blessed and that they are a major blessing. And Father, we thank you said in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Father God, the heart desires that you have placed in them, Lord, we receive, you are filling it. You are fulfilling each and every promise because you are faithful. You are faithful. And so, Father God, we thank you as they are faithful to hear from you and to move to Florida. Lord, that you are there with them. You're blessing them all along the way, keeping them, protecting them, and blessing them. And we just speak supernatural increase over their lives. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that they are stepping now into a new season. We receive a new grace.
Yeah.
We receive a new level of anointing
thank
operating
you.
Now in their lives for this next season, for this next place, for this next assignment. And we receive that, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I just thank you, Father, for the seed sown all the time, all the serving, all the finances, everything, Father, that they have sowed, that they receive a 100-fold return harvest, that you have it waiting for them. And even all along the way, we thank you for the harvest of the seed sown in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I meant to bring Kleenex.
It's all right.
I know how to wipe those. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Amen. We'll just, while you're up here, we can pray this together. Well, we read the scripture earlier here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. So here in the room, they're online. Let's all pray this together and receive Jesus now into our hearts. Father God.
Father God.
I believe.
I believe.
That Jesus.
That Jesus.
Is the Christ.
Is the Christ.
He is your son.
He is your son.
You sent him.
You sent him.
To pay the price.
To pay the price.
For my sin.
For my sin.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I confess you now.
I confess you now.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Take my life.
Take my life.
Do something with it.
Do something with it.
All for your glory.
All for your glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we believe, according to the scripture, that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You're in the kingdom of God, and we call you brother, we call you sister in the Lord, and we love you. Praise God. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you,
and in him
we are living in victory.